forced to come down.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's Jesus. He said, I talked to him last night. He said the only reason he's not coming is because he wants to see all the first thing up. And I told him, you got to talk to him. I talked for a long time. He said, they took down. He said, nothing they want to sit down. But all this got to come down. You got to get information behind him. And he said, whether that fishing got a tool that he did put his weather. Man told me last night, he needs that down because he got to get the weather behind him. I'm through the roof. Your these slabs on your roof, they're very rock. They're very, very rock. So what I have to have the guy do, I'm going to tell her on here where they're through the roof, to just feel around the wood with a liquid air. And up here, these things are really very rock. What are you and I put together? You know what I'm saying? But everything is through the roof. And all you got to do is come and put those two slabs, one on this roof, on this. You know? One going through here. Yeah, those two here, that's what he did. But he asked me, Mexican asked me last night, he said, how's he going to get in the house? I said, well, usually if he gets there by 10 o'clock or 10:30, one of them are here, the wife or the husband is here. I got to go into Medford now to get somebody here. They didn't call me last night. He was making a bad smell.
In that name.
Let's turn it off.
In that name.
Probably put the cotton in my nuts right there. The old furnace, so.
Oh, my Jesus.
Let's let it know, okay? Because, I mean, we're going to pass the session. I got this stuff is run to court. So everything. And I got water. Water's all to the floor. Water's in the bathtub. Everything got water. So I will see you the next time I see you. I'll be here to turn on the hit the switch. Because I'm not coming back here to the electrician get here, okay? You no need for me to come back. I only come here because your guy told me. Yeah, he's going to connect all that electrician. I'll do all that. I got the thermostat connected Friday already, but the thermostat going to come off the wall when they put the sheet rock on and then put it back on. But it's tied into the system. He got to run the heavy wiring right there now. That's what that's the, he needs to break them up. You see that? There's a current. I know, so she's coming there, man. I'm not powerful enough for this thing, man. It looks small, but you need some heavy rolling, like thing number six. You got to put number six on number eight wire on that. You can't put no 14-2 or 12-2 on that. Yes. They got all the breakers inside that. But he can still have a half breaker inside the panel because they got all the breakers, they got all the 40s inside that and plus a 15 amp for the circulator inside there. They got everything. It's a good unit. All right, sir. I'll see you next time. Get the radio back up. The Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Father, we glorify your name. We honor you, Jesus, for you give us all that we need every time, oh God. You never fail to bless us. You never fail to bless us. You never fail to bless us with all that we need. You give us more. You give us more than we need, more than we desire. Oh, God, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, Father, we just honor you right now. You are worthy to be praised, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are the Most High God. And, Father, we praise you right now. We praise you right now, Lord. We glorify your name. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Come on in and have your way, Jesus. There is no one like you, Lord. You are the great I am. You are the lily of the valley. You are the early morning star, Lord Jesus. You are the land of the tribe of Judah. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you right now. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. For there is none like you, Jesus. None like you. Oh, we lift you high this morning. Higher than the earth right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we lift you higher than the heavens, oh, God. We bless your holy name, Jesus. We ask you, oh, God, to come into this service today and move by your spirit, oh, God. Move by your spirit. Move by your spirit, oh, God, and have your way. Oh, Father, show up and show out. Oh, Father, we need you right now. We need you. We need your presence, oh, God. For in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand, they are pledges forevermore. Oh, mighty God, there is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you, Jesus. Oh, how we worship you. Oh, how we praise you, Lord. Father Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for Pastor Washington holding down the ship today, Lord God. And mighty God, we have finished doing what we had to do. We're heading back to the house right now. Lord, we ask for traveling mercy, that we might reach there safe, oh God, and pick up the other stuff that we need to go into the other city to check this furnace for this lady. Oh, mighty God, we just ask you, Lord, to rest your hands upon us. Lord God, rest your hand of peace, hand of joy. Yes, your hand, oh God, of forgiveness and mercy, Lord. We ask, God, today that you touch Pastor Gudis' father as he endeavor to go into this open heart surgery, Lord. Lord, we ask you to touch us. The surgeon's hand. As a matter of fact, we need you to be the hands of the surgeon. Oh, God, as he performed his surgery on Pastor Gudis in India. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, because we know that it's already done, because you are the surgeon that never lost a patient, oh, God. You are the doctor that never lost a patient, oh, God. Mighty God, we just thank you right now. We praise you in advance.
We praise you in advance for the outcome. We praise you in advance, oh God, for the restoration. We praise you in advance for the healing right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we just honor you right now, Father. You are so mighty. You are so awesome, God. You are, oh my God, words cannot tell how great you are. Oh, words cannot tell how mighty you are, God, because you are the great I am. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you are the sovereign God, the mighty God. Oh, mighty God, we just praise you right now. We just want to praise and we want to give you glory, oh, God. We ask you, oh, God, to take complete control over this service today, Lord. We ask you to put the words in the apostle's mouth that she needs to have. Put the words in the bishop's mouth that he needs to have. Oh, God, whoever responds today, Lord, give him a kind word. Give him a loving word. Give him a word that, oh, God, that would, oh, God, energize someone that hear, oh, God, the words that flow from them, oh God, that they will know that they're not just speaking, that, but they're speaking to all who are listening, oh God. They're speaking to the world, oh God, and that the ears of the world are open, oh God. Oh, mighty Father, we just thank you. We praise you, God. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name. We worship you now. We praise you now, Lord Jesus. You are my Father. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. Yes, my soon coming King, Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name, Jesus. I bless your name for miracles. Miracles are taking place right now, Lord God. Deliverance is taking place right now. Healing is taking place right now. Oh, God, somebody's receiving salvation even right now, God. Hearing the voice of the Holy One. Hearing the voice of Jesus, oh God, speaking to them, speaking, touching their hearts right now, Lord Jesus. I ask you, God, to move right now. Move, move, Lord God. Move by your spirit, God. We adore you. We honor you, Jesus, for there is none like you. The songwriter says he searched high and he searched low, God. I couldn't find no one like you, Lord. No one compared to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we just honor you, Lord Jesus. You are awesome, God, a mighty God. We honor you, Jesus. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are prayed. Amen. 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 We are here. Pastor Watson is not here yet, but we are here, and I'm traveling. I'm on the road, driving back home, and I'm going to stop to get some gas because I got to go into another city when I get home, get my vacuum and so on, and head out to another city. But we blessing God. We blessing and praising God. For her taking up that. I'm gonna hold on to Samantha.
When you begin to praise him, there's no telling what he'll do. It brings access to the Father. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. One more time before we get to the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Savior. Thank you. That was absolutely, positively, marvelous. I felt it when you said it. Hallelujah.
God is. We thank the Lord that he is. He's my everything. He's our everything. The woman and man of God is on the line, so we are going to pull them in. It's a good worship song, but we thank God for them. Father, we just thank God and praise you right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your anointing. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your omnipresence, your omniscience. Presence. We thank you, Lord God, for being here, oh God. You said clearly that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are. So, Father, we know that you're here because they're more than two or three. And, Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would have your way, Lord God, even in the room this morning with our pastor, our goodest Father, as he go through open heart surgery in India, Lord. We know that you are the hands of the surgeon. And, Lord, you are doing what only you can do, that he would come out, oh, God, with a speedy recovery, Lord. We ask that you touch Bishop James Washington this morning, touch Apostle Linda Washington, Lord God, and that you would use them for your glory, Lord. Lord, let their town become the pen of ready writers, oh, God, that they write on the parchment on everyone that hear the message today, Lord God, that it will not just a message like every day, but it be a message today that would change hearts, that would, oh, God, that would renew our relationships, oh, God, that would, oh, God, cause others that hear the message, oh, God, to have a zeal for you, Lord God. And, Father, we are careful to give you all the glory and all the honor, oh, God, as your word come forth with power and with authority in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Come on in, Bishop and Apostle, and let the Lord use you. I'm finished over there. I'm driving back home right now. Got to go get my vacuum and some stuff. I've got to go into another city. But I'll be on the radio with you guys. Come on in.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Apostle. We'll be taking our time today while you get your business taken care of. Praise God. And we're going to take care of God's business here right now. Hallelujah. Along with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. We thank God for this time that we have once again on the line. Glory be to God. Greetings to all of you on the line this morning. We appreciate you, and we pray that this message will be a message that will definitely resonate with you and then it will just be downloaded into our souls. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to get right into the message. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians. So turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Glory be to God. That's where we'll be this morning. Glory be to God. And I just know that this is a message that we all need to hear because, first of all, let me give you the topic. And that topic is going to be what we must abandon. We must abandon some things / ways. And it's not something that we can do on our own, although it takes the work. It takes us to do our part, but we cannot do it alone. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all areas of our life, and we depend on him and trust that he will do just that. Glory be to God, because everything that God says is true. We don't have to guess about it. It's not any guessing involved. It is true. And this type of thing that we're going to talk about today, abandoning some things, it's basically more about dealing with difficult people and dealing with difficult situations. Because in this time that we're living in these last days, there are so many people who are hostile. There's so much hostility in the world. So many people don't know how to walk in the Word of God, walk in the Spirit, even those that may be Christians. We have a hard time relating to others or a hard time dealing with problems because there always will be problems. There's always going to be things that's going to happen that's not pleasant. And we will encounter folks that are not pleasant, but we must know how to be the peacemaker. Jesus said in chapter 5, be the peacemaker and we can be sons of God. Amen. So we have to learn how to live in the Spirit. And when we're in the Spirit, we'll be in peace. When we're in the Spirit, we will know how to deal with difficult situations without being hostile, without doing it as the world does it. We're going to be dealing with difficult times. It's difficult times, and we have a lot of difficult people. Amen. So let's get right into it. Glory be to God. We thank God for all of you again this morning. Let me pause for a minute. Let me just pause for just 1 minute, please. The word, turn into it now. Hallelujah. In the Bible is where we find what we need to know. Amen. That's why we have to go there every day and study the Word of God. Because when we study, we will learn how to live and walk in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless your name, Jesus. Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. I ask everyone to pray for my son, Peter, who's having a difficult time right now. And we are working on some things along with some other people that are his intervention team. We now have that for him. And so we pray that this new plan that we have is going to work. And I'm sure it is, because God is with us. Glory be to God. So pray. Please pray that that Peter will be ready to do work with these people and get his life in order. Amen. Right now he needs that intervention. So let's move on. Let's move on. Glory be to God. Hold on. Thank you. I apologize for the interruption. Be still, be still. Hallelujah. Okay, if you have your Bibles open there. Ephesians. There, chapter 4. I'm so sorry about this interruption. Chapter 4, here we are. And we're going to go to verse 31. Actually, let's start at verse 29. And this is very important for, especially for leadership and for everyone to know, for everyone to know that we are going to be, and we all know that, people everywhere. And we all have to deal with these difficult situations, but we have to learn how to deal with them because we got to do it in a godly way. And so let's look at what Apostle Paul is talking about here. Again, I apologize. I'm having a hard time reading the small print because of my situation with my eye. But in verse 29, we're going to go to Ephesians 4, verse 29. I'm there. You can read. You got it. I got it. It's a little better now. I think the Bible is not going to get bigger. And it reads here, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So here it tells us, give me that out of your, oh my God, he's got this in his mouth. All right, I have it. Hear me? Apostle, am I coming through to you?
You coming through? You coming through loud and clear? I forgot my
all
Bluetooth.
All right, thank you.
I think I dropped my Bluetooth in that building where I was working this morning. So
okay.
Somehow touched the phone and it came off. But anyway, you coming through clear?
Okay, good. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we read the scripture, and let's focus on do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So when we're walking in a manner that's not pleasing to God, that's not modeling after Jesus, the subject we're talking about here is hostility. It's how we deal with problems, how we deal with problematic folk. So we have to hear what Jesus said. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, be the peacemaker. And then we can be sons of God. It's in the Beatitudes. It's very, very important. When there is a hostile situation, we have to be the one to step in and try to diffuse, asking the Holy Spirit to help us to diffuse the situation. Because if we don't, it's only going to carry on and go further most of the time. Whenever I see something going on, and it's it's a hostile situation, I immediately say, peace be still. In the name of Jesus Christ, peace. And then the Bible just told us that we are sealed in the Holy Spirit. And when we know we're sealed in the Holy Spirit, then that word is in us, and then we can do what God said to do without a problem. We can't be the ones that's the problem. We have to be the ones that's able to solve a problem. That's what Jesus did. Everywhere he went when there was a problem, he was the answer to the problem. Glory be to God. He modeled this. He modeled what we're talking about right now, because he had to deal with a lot of hostile people, and those people were people of the church, most of them. My God. He had to deal with these problems. He had to deal with the adversity. He had to deal with the ugliness and all of the blaspheming that they did. Our Savior did that even before he went to the cross. My God. So what we have to do is model after that and make sure that you are in a church. You're in a church where you're in that circle of people who are wise and have great understanding, that pastor, that leader, that apostle, that, you know, that's in there. You know, we're dealing with the fivefold ministry. Also, Paul deals with that in the book of Ephesians, the fivefold ministry, giving us those leadership positions and what they're all about and what are we to do. What is our job? What is our job script? Okay, so let's go there. Let's talk a little bit more about bitterness and anger and all of that, because so many people are angry. So many people blow up at the least little thing. So many people are not communicating like they should. We are leaders, and we have to lead in a way that's pleasing to the Holy Spirit and not in a way that's hostile, because then we are going to grieve the Holy Spirit. The word clearly tells us, do not grieve your Holy Spirit with all of this babbling and evil speaking and all of that. Called when we have come into Christ, it's called we've been transformed. Our mind is now transformed. We are now one of the sons and daughters of God. When we become transformed in our minds, the minds have to be renewed. The Bible is very clear about that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You've heard that a lot on this line, and we have to, but when we talk about being transformed, we don't do the work that is necessary. We don't let that word just absorb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has to resonate in your soul, resonate with your mind, your heart, your soul. Hallelujah. So let's just talk all about this now, because it's very, very important because of what we see that's going on in the world today. And as we look at verses 30 and 31 and 30, you know, all of what I just read, we will see, we will learn that it's definitely something that was addressed, because it was happening even then. All of this disunity in the church, it was in the church. They had all kind of evil speaking going on. And these are the sins that we know. We look at the external sins like lying and murder, covetousness, and the Ten Commandments. But many times we overlook all of these things that we're going to talk about today. It's overlooked, the evil speaking, the slander, and all of the things that goes on, the gossip. That's evil, to gossip about your brothers and your sisters, to gossip about things that they have told you that's personal, to gossip about them in an evil way, lying on them. That the people lie all the time. But the main thing is that we got to learn how to get along. We got to learn how to communicate. Amen. So in these verses, Paul, in verses 31 and 32, we learn that God expects his people to be different. We have to be different from the people in the world. We've learned that we've got to be transformed to be different. Since we are saved, we are not to take what we want, but we are to work for the things that we have. We can't just take.
We can't just take and rob from people, you know, and we are to be good stewards of our time, good stewards of everything God has given us, good stewards in relationships, good stewards in everything that we do that's important to our life. We have to give that extra time to it. We've got to do the extra mile, hallelujah, so the needs of the people around us will be met and our needs will be met. But we have to do it God's way. We got to. So today we're going to spend some time in these verses, like picking it apart, verses 31 and 32. So we got to learn that God expects us to act differently. That's the bottom line. Since we have been saved, we're supposed to be made new creatures, right, Bishop? Made new creatures by the grace of God. We are to be different in the way that we relate to other people. This is so important. The truth of our new should be revealed. We're supposed to be born again. And so, therefore, it has to be revealed to people that we are in relationship with. How is it revealed? Our light is going to shine. We're going to speak with wisdom. We're going to act as though we're going to know for sure, not act, but we're going to be people that are very wise, people with understanding. Why? Because it's coming from the Holy Spirit. This is how we're supposed to model our new life. Hallelujah. If it's new, we're not old anymore. We don't do the old things we used to do. So we continue now, hallelujah, in these verses. And Paul is showing us that we got to be different. And we have the mark of the children of God. When we are marked, we had better act as though we are with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Claude. So we're talking about abandoning our old ways. We have got to stop doing the way we used to do it, because we're supposed to be doing it like Christ would do it. You know, they have those stickers and those signs and those things that say, what would Christ do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Righteousness at all times. What would Jesus do in every situation? This should be on our mind. And when I say on our mind, it's because we have, the Bible says we are now have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So we should always have righteousness on our mind. If we have the mind of Christ now, we got righteousness on our minds. Hallelujah. So as I said, people look to the external sins, those things that we, you know, we lie, lying and all of that. But there's this evil speech. There's this anger that Paul was talking about. There's these things, these sins that can also be seen by other people, but we shove it on the side. It's like we shove it on the rug. No big deal. We talked about somebody. We cussed somebody out. We acted ungodly, but it's no big deal to people. They just do it all the time. So now we have to look at this situation as something that's very, very important. It shapes our character into godly character when we decide that we're going to be the peacemaker, when we decide that we're going to go along with what Jesus Christ did. Just study his demeanor. Study how he handled situations in the Bible. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will see how Jesus handled things. He was a problem solver. We have to be the problem solver. We have to be the ones that will step in a godly way and do it with scripture. Whenever we're handling the situation, there's always a scripture that will help us to handle that situation. Do it in a biblical way. Hallelujah. So these things we're talking about today, being hostile and doing all of in evil speaking that Paul talked about, we have to understand that it's not pleasing to the Holy Spirit. It's not pleasing to the Holy Spirit when we talk about our brothers and sisters, and when we allow other people to talk to us about talk negatively towards our brothers and sisters. Now, there are some things that we can talk about among each other when it's the truth. When it's the truth, we can talk about it. When we know it has happened to us, it happened to me, it's my business, I can talk about my business. I can do that. But we got to leave other people's business alone. Amen. So in verse 31, as we have read, some things it is saying, basically what comes to me is some things have to be abandoned. Basically, that is what Paul's saying. We got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of it. There is to be abandoned by the children of God. We're going to take a little bit of time to look at these sins because they are a problem. It's an attitude problem. We need an attitude adjustment. There is resentment among people that can destroy our relationship with others. People resent people, and where resentment comes bitterness. And bitterness means it's grudge-filled. It's a grudge-filled attitude. Mm-hmm. Many people haven't looked up this word, but it's a grudge-filled attitude. Bitterness in the heart will fill us up with animosity. Animosity is very bad. The bitter person will be sour. Haven't you met them? Sour, filled with resentment and spite. You ever heard anybody say, yeah, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Just wait and see. I'm going to get you. Filled with spite, despiteful. Bitterness is mentioned first. Bitterness is mentioned here in this word because it is absolutely uncharacteristic of a Christian. Hallelujah. It's showing us how we flow into bitterness and how the bitterness flows into other things. As we are speaking evil, as we are doing evil against people, it's going to hurt other people, and it's going to hurt us too. It's going to hurt us in the end. I'm not accusing anybody of being bitter, but I know this word is for all of us to look at. All of us to look at our relationships. How are we handling our relationships with others? Amen. So bitterness is very dangerous because the Bible says that it can become rooted in our lives according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And it's going to poison the relationships we have in our lives. Bitterness comes from a heart that is not right with God. God is a God of righteousness. And we are made righteous when we become born again. Amen. But we got to work things out. We have to learn. We have to do, not just be hearers, but be doers of this word. Thank you, Jesus. Bitterness comes from the heart, is rooted in the heart. That's the groceries game. Oh, Claude will get it. Excuse me, you ask. So in Acts chapter 8, if you study it and read it, it is one of our bitterness in this chapter. And it talks about who is really saved in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Hallelujah. The word tells us. The word is definitely telling us something here. Bitterness will lead to destruction of our faith, and it will lead to destruction of our relationship with others. We get angry and get bent out of shape. And it hurts people. It hurts people that you love. Mm-hmm. And it's a bad example. It's a horrible example. My God, Jesus. So we have an example of the danger of bitterness in the Word of God, Samuel, in chapter 17. We see that Ahithophel was David's counselor. This man was bitter. His name is Ahithophel. When Absalom rebelled against his father, we know the story. The daughter
His sister was raped by her brother. And Absalom was very upset about his father, how his father handled it. We talked about that in another sermon. He was very upset. He wanted his father to kill his brother. He wanted him to get rid of him. He wanted him to act in a way that would not be godly. Who would want to kill their son? How hard would that be to kill your child? We have to look at the heart. It's a heart matter. And I'm sure even if it was customary to do it, again, I have not looked into the history of what was, I believe that was customary, that he would have been in his right to do that because he committed that crime and he is the king. Mm-hmm. But also this is the king's child. This is the king's son. All right. So that's a matter of the heart and how God would look at it. He committed a crime. He committed a crime against his sister. But God loves us all the same. It wouldn't have mattered if she was just if she was a neighbor or a friend or a stranger.
But this is just another trick of the enemy. He mm-hmm. hurts you through those who you love.
Yes.
You know, yeah. He got that wedge. Well, this is my daughter, and I can't abandon them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make a decision what to say in the hands of the Lord.
That's right. Now,
killing them may have been a kind of, but Absalom went overboard because he fathers against sons, sons against father. You see, the son went against the father.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God. Because that has been happening for years.
Yeah.
Joshua was against his father because his father hated David.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah. Enemy comes into play a lot.
Yes, he does.
Not giving him credit, but this is just one of his tricks.
Yes, it is, and I'm glad you brought that point. Yeah. Brother Pointo, he will attack the family. He will attack our children.
Right.
When we are in position, we have a position in the Lord, but it has to be a relationship, not just a position.
Right.
But when we are in a relationship with God, then you will see the attacks of the enemy will come, and it can come from so many different directions, not just with the family, but with other people as well.
Yeah.
And God is watching. He's watching all of this. And so we see this bitterness in Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's counselor. Absalom rebelled against his father. Ahithophel joined the rebellion. He joined up with the son. And that's what happened. People joined the bandwagon. Either the good way or the bad way. And this just happened since he already had some bitterness against David. He jumped on the bandwagon with Absalom. Now I got somebody else that's bitter against him. Now we can work together against him.
Right.
So when it became clear that David would prevail, Ahithophel went to his house and committed suicide. Now let me say that the reason Ahithophel committed suicide because he was bitter. He was bitter about something David had done to a member of his family. Ahithophel had a son named Eliam in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 34. Eliam had a daughter named Bathsheba. Oh, you see. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3, David committed adultery with Ahithophel's granddaughter. And Ahithophel could not forgive and get past the sin of David. His resentment turned into bitterness, and it was poison. He was poisoned. His mind was poisoned. Ahithophel was poisoned to the point where it caused him to turn on his friend and to eventually commit suicide. This thing is very, very serious. Everybody's not strong. Everybody is not very well seated. How do I put it? Everybody is not well versed in the Bible. Everybody is not where certain people are. Like God takes us higher and higher from glory to glory, and some of us are mature and some of us are not, and some of us don't have Jesus at all. Some people are already dealing with a lot of issues. Some people are already hurt, who have done them so much wrong, and they're weak in their minds. They don't know God. They're not strong in Jesus Christ. And so many times people commit suicide because of what people have done to them and how they have hurt them. Raped, stolen their goods, took their love and abused it. Abusive relationships can cause people to die. James had a friend. He can tell the story. He had a friend. Killed the husband. One of them was his cousin. The wife was his cousin, okay. I know he told me that story. And he was abusing her. It turned into bitterness and resentment. Resentment turns into bitterness. Then you have this animosity. Then it turns into hatred. And she began to hate what he was doing to her, but she still love the man she used to know. But the bitterness set in. The resentment set in. She resented that. You're getting abused for no reason. Nothing that she had done him. She hadn't done him anything. They had six children.
He was abusive to her.
Mm-hmm.
He had other women out there. See, if he get mad with one of them, he come home and take it out on her.
And one of the reasons why is because he was looking for an excuse
right. For
what he was doing. Okay, I'm going to beat her up, because in his sick mind, he has created this in his mind. I'm going to believe that she's doing me something wrong, and that's the reason why I go and cheat on her. Thank you. And what it did was it turned to bitterness. Amen. Animosity. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So this subject that we're dealing with today, telling you, I have seen it happen to people over and over again. And people are fighting with family and have not reconciled for years because of the resentment, because of the bitterness, you know. And God wants us to get along together. He wants us to be a family. And the saddest thing is that it's in church. There's so much disunity. There's so much division based on what people are doing or what they're not doing. And so we're talking about today, we must abandon some things and some ways. They have to be. We cannot hold on to the old us and call ourselves the new me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. It's not right. It's absolutely not right. And so we got to let go of the grudges and forgive. Paul says to forgive in this word, hallelujah, that I just read. We must be compassionate with one another. We must forgive each other just as Christ God forgave us. My God. We got to get rid of all of this rage and this anger and brawling and slander, along with every other form of malice, he says. Got to get rid of it. And with the hope of the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to do that. Amen. So this man killed himself. He was so angry. The bitterness just ate up at him and poisoned him completely, poisoned his mind. And the enemy made him feel like, now you need to go. You can't deal with it. Because David is the king. David is one that has the authority. He has this position and he has this authority and he's the king, and you feel like, okay, I'm outnumbered. I can't do anything with this man. But I can't stand him. I hate him for what he did. Caused my sister's husband to be killed because he wanted to be with her. And here's the thing. He was David's counselor. But David, well, let me say Uriah. Uriah was the armor bearer, was his armor bearer. And David had him killed. So we're dealing, see, this thing that happened with David, it touched other people. It caused the child to die, the newborn. It hurt David's counselor. It hurt the people around David. You see, so some things that we are doing, it hurt other people. And we have to be very careful. I'm talking about this subject because I have dealt with a lot of people dangerously angry. They're angry all the time, and they have not dealt with it. They have this hostility in their hearts, and it's there because only God can remove it. Only God, only Jesus. Nobody else could do that. So when we have God, when we really are in a relationship with God, we're not going to kill ourselves. No, because we'll realize that the enemy has already been defeated. Jesus did that at the cross.
My people in there.
Amen.
The knowledge of Christ, so they know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. You know, one of the commandments is honor that father and that mother. And we know someone who actually physically abuses his mother. And he's not a little kid. My grandma used to say, so-and-so, you know, and she was one of these people that loved her monkey so much, she loved him to death.
Literally. Yeah.
This young person is not that young,
mm-hmm,
but his
mm-hmm.
mother agreed with everything that he did when he was younger,
mm-hmm.
even with you. She disagreed with you about something that her son did. Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. But her son started doing the same things to her,
mm-hmm.
and caused problems.
It caused that bitterness.
As old as he is, she still won't cut that apron string. You know, like, well, hey, you're not going to do this to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to still love you. I'm still your mother, but you're not going to do this to me anymore. Put your foot down, which you should have done 45 years earlier, but you didn't. You see, my mother has crossed over, and I still feel love for my mother.
Amen.
You know, her memory, she's in a better place now. But I wouldn't dare raise my hand to my mother. You know, but some people, they don't care.
No.
You know, hey.
Well, they don't have the mind. They have not been transformed. They don't know Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to preach this, to teach this word of God, because people need Jesus Christ. And when we have Jesus Christ, we don't have this illness in our mind. You know, we're ill. Our heart is filled with resentment. Our heart is filled with the anger. We're doing the sins. We're doing the things that we do because we don't know God. And when we have a relationship with God, then we are not going to act this way. We're going to do everything in a godly way. No. Praise God. So the bitterness was allowed to exist. Ahithophel's heart, because of what David did with his granddaughter and caused her marriage to end with Uriah, who was his armor bearer, and that resentment turned into hatred. If it's allowed to exist in our hearts, it's going to produce a root of bitterness that will grow, and it's going to infiltrate many areas of our life. It's going to spill over into our relationship, spill over on our job. It's going to spill over with strangers. It's just going to spill over all over the place. So it has to be destroyed, and only by the blood of Jesus, only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Bitterness makes us sick. So many people are bitter. Somebody I love very much is starting to feel bitter and angry. Angry with her children. Angry because of the way they were living their lives. She was angry to the point where she was even angry with her dead husband. She was crying one day and she said, "Why did you leave me here with them?" That's how bad it was. Only one of her children made her proud. One of her children did well. And then that one began to move away, not spend enough time with her, call her like she used to. And she began to kind of move away. See, and it made her feel bad inside. And she began to be angry. She began to curse at him. She was so sad. My own son would charge me to come and help me to clean the house, charge me to do work. My own nephew will come, and I have to pay him to do things. So all that I did for them when they were children, after all, I've been a good mother. And it came to her. She would ask them to do things. She needed help. Of course, she's elderly, and she needed help. She can't do the things she used to do. So this is what happened. She began to feel bitter, and I would pray with her and tell them, don't let them get to you. Just pray for them. Pray for them. If you got to pay, then call a stranger. Call somebody else.
You'll feel better.
Just call somebody else. Call another contractor. If you're going to call them and they're going to charge you, and you're going to be bitter and angry about it, hey, don't deal with that. Say, okay, I won't call you anymore. And then when they come, I'm going to move on. Then when they would come and do the work, then they still wanted her to have food for them while they're working. She's feeding them, buying drinks for them, all of this, and pay them. Oh, my God. How horrible. How horrible. So bitterness will make you sick. Yeah.
You're my mother. You're my daddy. You're supposed to do it. Take care of me.
Amen.
When I was a child, I thought as a child.
Amen.
I said like a child. But now that I'm a man, I'll put away the things of a child.
Amen. That's what the Bible says.
Now,
that's the word.
No, I'm not.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
Sometimes you can't, you know, well, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm in a bit of a bind here. I need to make a loan, if it's possible, that you would let make me a loan, because I have a debt to pay, and I'm about to lose some furniture or something that I'm almost finished paying for, you know? And then out, you know, you'd be like a go-between. Hey, well, if I give them this last couple of payments, then they'll pay me, they'll pay the people off, and then they'll pay me back. But it's not like that. You're my daddy. You're my mama. You have to take care of me. But I'm 55 years old. Don't forget that. I'm 55 years old. You have to do that.
Yeah.
You have brought me. You have brought me in the world. You have taken care of me as a child. You have helped me throughout my life. When are you going to grow to where your age is? When are you going to grow up? You know, it's something that it just gets on my nerves. See, I left my mama's house. I was 17, 18 years old when I left. So I had to go back to my mom. You know, I, what? I didn't go back and stay for 5-6 years.
But that's a different situation.
You know, I
that's a different situation. You know, to stay a little bit more in that area.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we can be with our parents to be there to help them.
True.
That's different. If you if they're there to be there for them, to help them because they don't want them in the house by themselves,
yeah,
or whatever, or the parents come to live with them, that's different.
Yeah.
But if it's being done and you don't really want to do it, you're going to get angry about it. You're going to get bitter about it. You're going to feel like I ought to not be doing this. Or if a parent is doing something with one of the children like you're talking about, and if you're not careful, you can get bitter against your own people. You can get angry, so angry that you blow up, and then it can cause us to become ill. It's causing people to have high blood pressure. It's causing people to have stroke.
Yeah.
So we have to move out of those situations. If you've done all you know how to do, you got to get out of that situation. Like Bishop said, you got to cut the apron string. You have to do what you got to do. We have to.
Yeah.
As parents, as sisters and brothers and cousins or whatever, even neighbors, strangers, we have to know how through God, get the know-how through the Bible, how to handle difficult situations, dealing with people who are difficult, my God, dealing with people who just don't have no understanding. They're void of understanding. They have no wisdom, and you cannot stand up and argue with them, but you can say, peace. Be still. You can try your best to cause the situation to end up in a peaceful way. And we do it with the word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So bitterness will harm us emotionally. It does so many bad things to us, Apostle. So much. And the root of bitterness will entangle itself all around. It's like it'll smother you. It'll smother any peace that you had within you.
Yeah.
Your joy and your happiness will be choked. I mean, it'll literally almost choke the life out of you. When people are doing you so wrong and you're doing the best you can do for them. But we have to understand that person is still sick. That person needs to be healed by Jesus. That person's emotions need to be healed. His soul got to be healed. I'm not talking about just a person with a mental illness. I'm talking about all people who have no understanding. I'm not just talking about, but to be honest, without Jesus Christ, it's insanity. Without Jesus Christ, we don't have a right mind. We're not in our right mind because you have to be made the righteousness of God. And when we made the righteousness of God, we got a right mind now. When we're following in the ways of Jesus, we got a right mind now. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to be that peacemaker. We're going to, now we're really and truly a son and a daughter of God when we know how to be one. Jesus said, be the peacemaker, to be a son of God. You got to be righteous. Be made righteous by Jesus Christ. So bitterness will harm us emotionally. That root of bitterness will just choke us, like I said. It will leave us sad. We'll be sad. We'll feel empty inside. Listen, I felt that way before, but I wasn't bitter. I felt sad, but I wasn't bitter. I felt sad about the way I was being treated, but I wasn't bitter. Because I didn't allow myself to get bitter because, well, let me say I didn't. Let me take my out or I out because it was the Holy Spirit. Even when I wasn't born again, I never allowed myself to just hate people. What I did was I secluded myself. I went into seclusion. Look, I don't need to do this anymore. I don't need to have these people. As you're not a friend. If you're not a friend, they're not a friend. You got to know who's a friend. You got to know. But then sometimes situations will cause people to get different. Even money can cause people to get different.
Oh, how about people who you got to take the gun to people from killing them?
Oh, amen. Amen. That has happened in our family.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same aunt that was having trouble with her son.
Uh-huh.
The drug man show up to the door and she had to pay the drug man because he was supposedly going to kill her son. All of these things, and all of these things he would have, I'm sure. So I'm not trying to down anybody today. I just know that because of the way the world is right now, you meet with a lot of hostile people in a grocery store, places that you go. People will do mean things. Can't even tell you thank you.
They won't tell you.
They will not. They will not say thank you. I've had a cashier just throw my money on her. Uh-huh. Wouldn't even put the money in my hand, my change. Just throw it on her. Just throw it out there on the counter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throw all the change and throw the money on the counter because she's angry. She don't want to be there for some reason. Obviously, she didn't want to be at work. Obviously, she had an issue. That's one of those people that's got an issue. You know, the customer is the reason why you get a paycheck. Even at the fast food line, you got those that will act ugly. And you can tell it how they answer the answer on the monitor. They'll you can just pick it up, that thing in their voice. Like it's telling you, I don't really want to be here. So let's get.
Yes. I was working at a company, and they got a motto, and it showed them. We were bus drivers and streetcar operators, and they had a little man. He looked like a little, as they considered a person, a little nerd. You know, he's sitting there on the streetcar, and they had an arrow pointing at him. He said, remember, this is your real boss. That person, because if that person stopped riding this vehicle, it's only one, but they may know 10,000 other people that stopped riding this vehicle. Now you don't have a job because we have to cut back. You lose.
Yeah.
That's your risk.
Yeah, they can really ruin your business.
They can ruin your business.
Those attitudes. Like I said, it can infiltrate in many areas. It can infiltrate in many areas of our lives. Period. Okay. So when we learn to live the word, walk the word out, we're not going to wrong other people.
No.
We're not going to lose our focus on the Lord. Hallelujah. But if we fixate on the wrong and fixate, then what's going to happen? It's going to be animosity.
Yes.
Then it's going to be hatred. So, even if there is no one on this line or there's no one that can hear us around the world that has had an issue with this, which I believe every one of us has, but may not be dealing with it at all. But there's going to come a time when we're going to deal with hostility. There's going to come a time when you're going to deal with a person who is difficult. It's called dealing with difficult situations and difficult people.
Yes. Okay.
And we have to learn that we got to change. Something has to change. I was doing ministry on the phone last night, and for a couple of hours, the person is realizing she's hurt. She's hurt because people have hurt her. She's done all she could do, and they still don't appreciate it. She's done all she could do in her house to make it look beautiful just the way she liked it, but she's not happy. And finally, the breakthrough comes. She said, I heard the Lord. And he said, Now you see. Even this that you've been wanting for a long, long time, and you got it. A brand new kitchen. Beautiful, just the way she wanted it. Beautiful home. Everything in it now is the way you want it. And you're not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm still unhappy. I'm not happy. But the Lord said, the Lord spoke to her. You're missing me. You're missing that relationship with me.
Amen.
I'm your joy. The breakthrough comes. God allowed her to get all that. But here comes the breakthrough. Now the Lord is speaking. Now you see. So don't let that happen. We must deal with our hurts and not allow them to grow in our hearts. That will choke our peace, choke our joy. If we allow it to flourish, there is a root of bitterness that will destroy us and destroy relationships. You ever been around a bitter person? Bitter people are sad. They're hard to get along with. And ultimately, they are very selfish. But they'll always call on you. Even though they don't respect you, they'll always call on you for help. Yeah. They don't call on Jesus Christ, but they're calling on because they care for nothing but their own feelings. The Bible says, I just read the 4 of Ephesians, and we're going to be in Ephesians for a while. Bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit.
My God.
And then it causes wrath. And the word wrath in the Greek is thumos. And we get our words thermometer and thermonuclear. From this word, it has the idea of a sudden violent explosion.
Oh,
wrath is described as a sudden violent explosion of anger. You know the old saying, flying off the handle.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, I see it as this, I have this pressure cooker at home. And you got to be careful when you raise the top because that steam just explodes out of there.
Right.
And you can get burnt really bad. And so can you get burnt really bad from people.
Yes. Yes.
They will burn you. But we still got to love them. But we have to disengage situations. Speak the peace over the person. Speak the peace over the situation. Mm-hmm. And pray for God to save them. And forgive them is so important. I also read in this verse, the last verse I read, 32, love the Lord. I'm sorry, 31. The Lord forgave us. He did it through his only son, his begotten son, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So we have to forgive. And we'll be on this subject for a minute. We'll be in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians for a while. So I also talked to you about that woman who was being abused. She ended up killing her husband. But he was using her as a punching bag because that made him feel like, well, she, in his mind, he conjured in his mind that his wife was no good. That's sick. That his wife is not pleasing him. So he could feel good about going to do what he's doing. And that woman was taking care of those 6 children. That woman was not doing no wrong toward him. But she got tired to the point where she was going to kill herself or kill him.
Let me tell you this.
But she killed him. And before he took his last breath, he told the police, it's not her fault.
That's right.
It's not her fault. He was dying,
yes.
And he said it's not her fault.
She
didn't serve a day in jail.
He didn't know he was dying. He thought he was just going to go to the hospital. But
he probably felt it.
He cleared her. He said,
it's not her fault.
I pretended that I was going to stay up over the screwdriver. That's why she shot him.
Yeah.
But it's not her fault.
She was going to shoot him anyway. She had that conjured in her mind, you know. And
if you're asleep and somebody grabs you and that person has given you a weapon to protect you and your children, that person gave her that weapon. And as he drew, so he grabbed her by the foot out of her sleep. And she just instinctively grabbed the gun. She pulled the trigger and hit him in the heart. But,
well, her wrath was done through a gun.
Yeah.
Her wrath was exhibited through a gun.
Because
it was like that gun, and her wrath was like, bam, blast, boom, and it's all over. boom, it's that blast, when she blasted him with that gun, that was her wrath.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like, you're not going to stab me with that screwdriver, and I'm about tired of you.
Yeah.
I'm tired. And her mind went off.
Yeah.
And it went off, and it went off in a gun. It went off through a gun. That's how she did the rat.
Yeah.
Some people's rat, they'll beat you up. Some people with their rat, they'll curse you out and get real loud.
It's a weekly thing.
But be careful, because people are angry today. Yeah. Be careful. Don't stop. Don't stop. If somebody got road rage, don't stop. Don't stop.
Don't
keep going. Pray to God. If you know, because some people get road rage because you might cut in front of them or something like that. They get the road rage, too. They got the rat on the road. My God. Rage on the road. My God. And then if you say something, if you say, oh, yeah, you talking to me or whatever, don't address that situation. Keep it moving and pray. Pray, God, peace be still in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help that fella. Help him, Lord. You know, we're more blessed when we... It's such a blessing. It's a huge blessing when we could pray for those who've done us wrong. God said, pray for your enemy. When you can pray for folk terrible, oh, God will bless that. Why? Because it's like Jesus. All of our sin was put on Jesus on the cross. My God. And he forgave us. So when that was the enemy. That was his enemies, the enemy of sin. My God, hallelujah. And we were all full of sin. We were all not in our right mind. But we look at other people when they're acting stupid and acting a fool like we was all so good. We were all so good. We never was like that. No, that wasn't your sin. But it all became evil. All of that evil, all of that sin was put on Jesus on the cross. And all of us are guilty. All of us was guilty. Not just one for you of that person. Oh, look at him. Look at her. Look what they're doing. And we're talking about them. But what about what you did? What about what Jesus forgave you for? Don't forget what Jesus forgave us for. Don't forget where we have been. Have we been angry before? Have we exploded in anger before? Have we wanted to curse somebody out? Have we wanted to hurt somebody? Or did we even do it? My God, hallelujah. We're human and full of sin. We was full of sin. And Jesus came into our lives and he changed us. So don't look at other people like stupid he is. Don't call nobody stupid. Look at that. No. Say, Lord, help them. Lord, have mercy. Lord, save them. God, I forgive them. Merciful Father, pour out your mercy. Oh, God, pour out your grace. Because we're going to deal with these people. I'm telling you, it's getting worse in the world. And we have to go into the world to do our business. We can't be of the world, but we live in the world, and we have to do business in the world.
Yeah.
We have to deal with folk in the world. We got to talk about these subjects. I know we talk about many subjects in the Bible, and we got to talk about them all, but people today are more hostile than ever before. Amen? So look at Ahithophel, what he did. He was mad at David for what he did with his granddaughter. He was mad, angry, and he held that bitterness against the king all those years. And when the king's son came against him, Absalom, he joined that bandwagon. He joined that sick man right quick. Absalom wanted to kill his daddy for what he didn't do about the situation with his sister. What a horrible thing. That boy wanted to rape his sister, and he did it. And how many times people rape people in many different ways?
Oh, yeah.
You ever felt like you were raped when somebody just did you something so bad and it just raped you, it robbed you. It robbed you.
Mm-hmm.
My God, they robbed you. They took something from you. My God, and it did something to you that was horrible. But when we know the Lord, what we do? Yeah, they just pour their wrath on you. And you didn't deserve it. And even if you did, it didn't feel good. We can pour our wrath on other people, but when it happens to us, it's different. Oh, you forgot about what you did to somebody else a long time ago. But what goes around, come around. Amen? That's what sowing seed is. It's going to come back at you. Whatever you're sowing into your life, it's coming right back at you. So remember, don't do it. That woman shot that man, and that was her rap. That shotgun blast, boom, and it was all over. Now I ain't got to deal with you no more. But she loved him, and she cried. That was her children's father. How awful. Look at the damage it left behind. The children had to watch their daddy die on the floor of the house.
Oh, one was in the room there.
Yeah, when she shot him. You know how that messed up those children's minds?
You know that
look at the damage.
That young man grew up to become a wife beater.
So, that's right.
But
he did, huh?
He only beat that girl one time.
And what happened?
She left.
That's it, see?
No.
She left.
Uh-huh.
And that was a good thing that she did.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good thing. I always say, if you love me, you're not gonna beat on me and hurt me.
No.
When you love me, you're not going to do that. When we love people, we don't want to hurt them. We want to help them. We want to do what's right by them when we love them. And we love everybody. You love people you never met before, people that you're going to meet. So wrath in the believer's life always grieves the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. I remember one time I did something, and it was out of character for me. And I said, I got so angry. And I called the apostle. I said, Apostle, I was crying like a baby. I said, oh, I grieve my Holy Spirit. I grieved my whole, and I was crying because I grieved him. I never did that again. So anger in the Greek is called ogre. And this is what it means, a deep, brooding, resentful feeling. It's internal, and it builds continually. The word ogre means to become red-faced. Read it for yourself in the concordance. And it is the picture of a person who clenches his fist and he becomes red in the face, or you can see a change in the color in their face, and yet says nothing and does nothing but the anger is there. First of all, it's internalized. And once it's internalized, it's going to come out one day. But that wreck that want to kill somebody or do something real bad or even kill themselves, it can't go on. It's got to be treated because it's always going to end up in an outburst, a wrathful outburst, and it's going to be nothing but bitterness. It's kind of anger hurts people and hurts your life. So we got to deal with the anger. Many people are angry today. They're angry at the government. They're angry with the husband or the wife. They're angry with the children. They're angry with the supervisor on the job. People are just angry. Not all people, but a lot of people out there today, especially what's going on now. People are angry that they can't go everywhere they used to go because of COVID. They're angry. You know, it's not fair. It's not fair that I can't go like I used to go. And it makes people sad inside. So as soon as the hurt happens, we got to take it to God and leave it there. Take it to God and leave it there. And if we cannot do that, then we are to try to reconcile with the person, take it to God, and then reconcile. Once you take it to God, God is definitely going to talk to you about reconciliation and forgiveness with that person who made you angry. So we are to handle it in God's way. Whatever we do, we are not to allow anger to dwell in our hearts. And the Bible says that revengeance is mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We are not to take vengeance, revenge out on anybody. Vengeance is the Lord. Hallelujah, in a Christian's life. So we want to please God and live the life of a Christian. We better not. We better try our best not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And then there's the word clamor that's used in the Bible. It means to shout or cry out. An outcry of anger. That's what the clamor means. I had never looked up that word before, but that's what the clamor means. All of these words are used in this scripture. It speaks of an angry person losing control. When we are angry and our anger grows, it exposes itself into wrath, and it'll be called clamor. It's a cry of anger. That's what clamor is. And we'll find ourselves raising our voices, acting in ways that show that we are not under the control of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, take control. Take control of this situation. Make me over, Holy Spirit. Obviously, I got an issue because I continue to get angry. I continue to have these outbursts. I continue to look at that person and say, I can't stand them. I can't stand the pastor. I can't stand this one or that one. Oh, my God. And then it's going to just escalate. That's right. That's the word. That's the word. That's the word I was looking for. So please walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. My God. Hallelujah. We're going to be closing, but we're coming back with a couple of, you know, some more. But this is something I've been dealing with. I've dealt with it. I remember there was a time, and this is because we got to allow the Holy Spirit to take over. Take over, Holy Spirit, in every situation, no matter what we're dealing with. And I remember this lady that I was working with, and I was doing my work. I'm on the floor, I'm on the retail department floor, and I was always about doing my work. I didn't hang out with everybody. They didn't know any of my business, and I didn't need to know any of Cordial. I made sure that I didn't get close with anybody, but when I found out that somebody needed help, I tried my best to help, and that is because of God, not because of me. But here's the thing. I wasn't going to join the bandwagon of the gospel. I wasn't going to join, not the gospel, of the gossip, because they had a lot of gossip going on. They had a lot of animosity toward the supervisor at the time. And I know she was doing some things wrong, but that was not my business. As long as I did my work and got my paycheck, I was okay, because that was my purpose for going. Is to get a paycheck, do my job, do it right, do it where God would be pleased, because God said in everything we do to God in the book of Colossians chapter 3, doing it as unto God. And that was my focus. That's my focus. I don't want to stand up and talk to nobody. I'm not going to stand up and gather and gossip. I'm not doing that. Gossiping about the leader. I was the leader. I am a leader. No matter who was the supervisor, I'm a leader on that job, because I have to lead in a way that the Holy Spirit would have me lead. Amen. We have to know that we are leaders. When you're a leader, you cannot do everything that other people do. We can't talk like everybody else talks. We got to walk in the Spirit. And so this lady walks up to me, a nice lady. She was pretty nice, but I didn't want to be friends with anybody on the job, because that's not good. So anyway, comes up and she want to talk about the manager. Now, this takes boldness, but you've got boldness. You get boldness from the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to do exactly what you need to do because it takes boldness. And he gives you that strength to do what you need to do. And he gives you the right words to say. And I just gently spoke to her, and I said to her, please don't talk about our supervisor to me. Don't talk about her to me. You shouldn't talk about her at all because it's going to get out. People are going to repeat what you're saying, not me. I said, but please. I said, stop talking about your supervisor. Do your work. Stop talking about your supervisor. Don't talk about her. Don't gossip about her. I said, because it's going to get back to her. It's going to get back to her, and it's going to boomerang. It's going to boomerang, and besides, it's wrong to do it. What she was doing was wrong, but I wasn't going to stand up there and entertain that gossip. I wasn't going to say it. This was it. No. Don't talk to me about her. No. And she didn't like me after that, but I told her right. This is not the proper thing to do, and I'm not here. I'm not about that. I'm not about it at all. I had to be a leader. I am an ambassador for the Lord, and I have to carry myself accordingly, according to what the Word of God says that I am to be. Amen. Be ye holy as I am holy. And that holiness is to go wherever you go. Wherever we go, the Holy Spirit is there. Call upon him for the boldness. Call upon him for the right answer. Call upon him for everything, and he'll be right there. He'll show you. He'll show you which way to go. He'll show you everything. He'll teach you what you need to know. He will. He's your counselor. Call upon him. Many times over the years, I've experienced these things even in my own family, even right now. But I have to remain calm because I need God to lead me, and I need God to lead us to the right answers, and he's doing that. But I have to back off. God is leading. I follow. He said, take up the torch and follow me. No, we don't get ahead of God. We follow God. Hallelujah. Carrying our cross, no matter what we are suffering from, no matter what's being done, we got to carry on. Carry on holiness. Hallelujah. So clamor is very, very serious. I hadn't looked it up before. I said, wow, look at this. And I never knew what it meant, and I just would read over it. But this time, because of this subject that we're teaching today, it is important. This scripture is very, very important. They're all important. And clamor should have no place in the life of a born-again believer. Clamor in church business, in a church business meeting. Clamor in different areas in your life. Hallelujah. And don't go home and talk about it on the phone. Don't go home and gossip about something that you heard about somebody, because it might not even be true in the first place. None of what you hear and half of what you see, because it may not be as it seems. Amen. When we lash out or act out in anger, we have given control of our minds and bodies to the flesh. And when we do that, it always grieves our spirit. Amen. So evil speaking translated through the Greek is translated into blasphemy. Oh, evil speaking is blasphemy. And then they speak evil against Jesus Christ himself. In the New Testament, the words speak of speech that is slanderous or that is injurious to another one's good name. Another's good name. When we talk about others in a negative manner, we are guilty of evil speech, blasphemy. This kind of talk is always coming from a place of bitterness. Because if I love someone like I should, I will not talk about them in negative ways. I will not gossip about them. I will not try to destroy their reputation. If I love them, I will try to build them up and not tear them down. I remind you that God says he hates those that sow discord among the brethren. Did you ever read that in Proverbs chapter 6? Things that God hates, that's one of them. Discord against the brethren. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. So when we are guilty of speaking gossip, seeking to destroy another person's reputation, or doing or saying anything that reflects in a negative manner on a believer, we're guilty of blasphemy. Oh my God. I didn't know it was that. I saw evil speech, but when you look it up in the Greek, it means blasphemy. We are guilty of blasphemy when we talk in a negative manner against a fellow believer. When we talk about God's child, listen, when we talk about God's child, we are talking about God himself. My God, that is a dangerous thing to do. Very, very dangerous. Now, if we're talking about something that happened and it really happened to us, God don't have a problem with that. But don't spread it all over. It happened between you and somebody else, and you have a confidant, and you gotta talk about it to another believer, or even say, Lord, forgive me because, you know, send one to another, confessing one to another, talking about something so they can help you work it through, you know, seeking some counsel from another believer about a situation you might have had with another believer, that's okay. The Bible says to bring it to the church. Bring your disagreements to the church. If you disagree with your brother about something, they don't realize it, then they say, get another witness, get two more witnesses. And then you take it further after that. Then you're going to take it to the church. That's right. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's blasphemy. So if we have a problem with another Christian, the Bible says that we are to go to them and talk to them. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, if they repent, we are to forgive them. If they do not, and if we can't get past that issue, we are to take them to the church. I want you to know it's in the Bible. Take it to the church. And so that they can have some biblical discipline. Discipline is necessary. Matthew chapter 18, again, read it for yourself. Chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. And we're going to be closing shortly here. Regardless of how we handle those who we have problems with, don't turn your tongue against them. Because when we do the evil speaking, we are doing the work of the devil. Blasphemy is of the devil. And if you got a problem with somebody, talk to that person. That's what I told the lady at work. I say, go sit down with your supervisor and express your grievances. And even if you have to write a grievance letter to the CEO, do what you have to do. But don't run around talking. It's not changing anything. Going around running your mouth about it. It's not changing. It's the same thing you're talking about is still happening. Over and over and over. You're talking about it to this one, that one, and the other one. Don't put yeast powder in it. That's another thing. Then we talk about things we don't even know. Yeah, then really and truly, this is where it says, when you have a person that talk, the Bible said there's a lie in it somewhere. There's a lie somewhere when they're talking. That means they're making up things. Lying. And we know it's true because the Bible says so. So blasphemy grieves the Holy Spirit, I say again. Now I'm going to remind you once again, if someone will talk to you about others, they will talk to others about you. My God. That's right. It's a talebearer. When they start talking to you and trying to slander someone, tell them to stop. God will give you the boldness to tell them to stop. I don't want to hear that. And then if it continues, you will have to go to that person. They are talking about, look, go to that person they're talking about and tell them everything they said about them. My God. Go to that person and say, that's what they're saying about you. Is that true? And stop them. But most of us lack the courage. Most of us don't have the boldness and the courage to do that, to say anything like that. But that would be the right thing to do. Okay, so you saying all this stuff? You talking about this person? First of all, you ought to not be engaged in it. But if you are, it's another Christian, and they've got a problem, they might not be a Christian, but let's talk about it. Let's go talk about it. I'm going to talk. We're going to let that person know what's going on. We're going to let that person know how you feel about it. I remember not too long ago, someone I was in ministry with, just not too long ago, and all of a sudden they stopped calling, even now. And so I called them. And I had three other believers on the phone. I said, now what's going on? I haven't heard from you. Are you okay? Is there anything that I've done that I don't know about? So I need to know. Because sometimes you never know. You might say something. And it might hurt their feelings. Or you might talk about something. That you know, something, you might say something. Or maybe you did something and they didn't like it. Because we're human. We make mistakes. We make mistakes sometimes. Call her. I want to talk about it. Oh, you haven't done me anything. But clearly you have changed because you would call me every day and we would pray at a certain time, blah, 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 blah. And then I would ask the person, you want to come to the line? Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm not coming. Well, something is wrong. Somebody said something. Something happened. Now, when I confront that and you say nothing's wrong and I didn't do you anything, okay. Well, let's just leave it at that. But I know something. Something had to happen. But I don't know. Because the person said, oh, no, you didn't do me anything. Well, what's the problem? Somebody did something. Somebody said something. Now, if you say I didn't, then I don't have no reason to ask forgiveness. But I did say, if I did anything to you, if I said anything I shouldn't have said, please let me know. And if I did, you got to let me know. That's the bottom line. Okay, the last couple of things that I want to say. So if there's trouble even in the church, there is someone involved who is guilty. If there's some disunity, there's some division, someone is involved who is guilty of what? Evil speaking. Sometimes the pastors do it. They stand up there in the sermon and talk about people's business. It causes disunity. The Bible says, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to the burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 and 22, I just read. The church will suffer so much at the hands of those who simply refuse to keep their mouth shut and not grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, help us not to grieve you, God. Help us not to grieve our Holy Spirit, oh God. Help us not to have any malice and animosity. There's another word that Paul used, malice. And that's the last one we're going to cover today. Malice. This word refers to evil. It speaks ill will toward another that manifests itself into a desire to injure them. In other words, it's an attitude of getting even with someone else for what you think they have done to you or what they have done to you. This is bitterness that's allowed to develop, and it is the ultimate wretchedness of malice. Malice says, you've hurt me. Now I'm going to make you pay. You offended me, and I'm coming back at you with my flesh. I'm coming right back at you because you offended me, you did me wrong. And now the flesh is going to blast them like a shotgun. My God, blast you, shoot you down. That's what it does. So when malice is in our heart, Paul is talking about malice in verse 30. I read, when malice is in our hearts, we break fellowship with others and we can destroy people. We can destroy and bring disunity in the church. We weaken the church and we destroy it, just like the destruction is in the world. Destruction comes into the church of God. When the world sees us acting in those ways, the church now looks like them. And the unbeliever is confirmed. It confirms to the unbeliever, I don't need to be in church.
You know what?
That's why I don't go to church. You hear him say, that's why I don't go to church. So it's confirmed in their spirit. I see what you're doing, and that's the reason why I don't come. So malice has no place in our lives, and when it's there again, Paul is saying it grieves your Holy Spirit. So here's the thing, and this is, and we'll be back with part two when Apostle allows to. If we are truly saved, the things that we have mentioned today, you won't be doing it. They have no place in your life. And we got to deal with bitterness, deal with wrath, deal with anger and clamor and evil speaking and our malice, because they will grieve our Holy Spirit. Oh, how precious he is. We don't want to grieve our Holy Spirit. So while these things are not characteristics of God, we must abandon them. And that's what we're talking about. That was our topic today. We got to abandon these things. They're not of God. We must abandon some things in some of our ways. That's the topic. And we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 and to 32. That's where we went today. And make no mistake about it, this is a serious subject. And it's very prevalent in the church and in the world today. People are more angry than ever before. They'll shoot you for stepping on their foot. For any little thing. People are killing people just because they want to murder somebody. A long time ago, we didn't hear about the murders we hear about now. It wasn't like that a long time ago. You didn't hear about people getting killed every day. In New Orleans, there are murders every day. Every day. They're murdering people, shooting them down, stealing people. They're doing carjacking. They're raping people. Rapes are up. The crime of rape is up, numbers. So some things are to be abandoned. Some things we have to abandon, and some things we must develop. Some things we got to take it on. Take it on, the characteristics of Christ. These are the things we have to take on, godly character. And we're going to, that's the second part. We're going to talk about the things that we must take in. And we talked about the things we have to get rid of. We have to abandon those things that we spoke of today. And we become new. When we abandon it, then we know, I don't do that anymore. I don't fly off the handle anymore. I don't get angry for the least little thing anymore. I'd rather we just talk about it. Let's communicate. Let's contend. God even invites us. Let's contend together. Talk to God about it. God is all right. If you, God's all right. He said, be angry, but don't sin. Don't sleep on it. That means don't let it fester in your spirit. Don't sleep on that anger. Don't let it simmer and simmer and simmer until it blows up. Don't do that. Now, God gives us these things that we should do and should not do. It's all part of what we need if we want to grow into a mature Christian. It's maturity. And some people will say, I wonder how she can still, or he can still take, how he's still walking. I wonder how that person is still functioning. All the things they've been through, why? Because of my Holy Spirit. He's keeping me. He's keeping Bishop. When you got to carry a cross, the cross is the cross. You're going to be crossed. You're going to be crossed. Hallelujah. You're gonna come in contact with people like that in ministry. Some people would think, well, you wouldn't think that you'd have to deal with this stuff in church. Oh, yes, you do. You got to deal with it with those so-called Christians, all Christians, and you're going to deal with it out in the world. So why does Jesus say we have to be ambassadors? Because we got to represent him. How you represent him? You got to be like him. Hallelujah. Be like Jesus. He said, Holy Spirit, make me over. Holy Spirit, take me over. I need you. I need you more than I need the air I breathe. Glory be to God. I need God more than anything. And that's what my friend realized. That's what one of my daughters, that's what he realized now. I needed God more than I needed this or that or the other. I need God. And God spoke. And that's what prayer does. Been praying and praying and praying. And praying together. And we pray together. We cry together. We pray together. We laugh together. All of these things. Just keep on. Keep on. Keep on praying. Even if you can't be around them, pray for them. Pray for the people. Pray for the family. Pray. Because you even got hostility with caregivers. Caregivers are supposed to be taking care of people and they're being mean. Raping the people. Yeah, in those nursing homes. In the people's homes, misusing them, stealing from them. All of these things are going on. We got to pray. Pray that our loved ones don't encounter these things. And if they have encounters with Jesus, it's going to get better and better and better with our lives. The more we encounter Jesus, the better we get. So the next time we come, we're going to cover those things that we have to have. We've already covered some things. We got to let go. Let it go. Let it go. Whatever wasn't right, just let it go. It's all right. Don't keep talking about it. Keep on talking about it. All it does is make that bitterness simmer. It's over. Say, God, let it be over in my heart. Let it be over. Because I want my soul to be ready to receive you. My soul to be ready when it comes time for my time to leave here. I want to be ready. I want to be right, do right. You can't walk with Jesus and do all the wrong stuff. That's not walking with Jesus. I'm not talking about walking with people. I'm talking about walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus is not walking like walking, you know, well, I'm walking with this one, I'm walking with that. No, walk with Jesus, and Jesus will give you the right people that will be walking with you. He'll put the right people in your life. And then when he put those people in your life, treasure them. Treasure the divine connection. And don't just beat on your brothers and your sisters. Amen? Hallelujah. So next time, again, I say, we're going to talk about things that we ought to be doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, Father, we are so grateful. I'm closing now. We are so grateful for this word, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need. Holy Spirit, I'm praying for people to be made over as you take them over, as they submit to you. Submit to Jesus first and foremost. Submit to Jesus Christ and give their lives to you, Jesus Christ. I'm praying. We're praying for the Lord. We're praying for the sick. Praying for those that just don't know. They don't know they need you, Lord, because they're sick in their minds. They don't know. They don't understand that before we receive salvation, that we're all sick in the head and that we all need to be renewed. And, Father, we just thank you that let this word resonate. I pray that it has helped someone today. It surely did help me. I learned some new things today. You know, I got up. I was up early this morning. When I tell you early, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I had already done the subject, and I was reading and reading and reading. And the more I read about this and, you know, started going to the definition, the biblical definition of what we covered today, oh, wow. It's nothing like really studying the book because you learn so much more. Amen. So this has been a learning experience. Now, I've been going through destructive situations, you know, and I do know that when you say peace be still, when you actually be the peacemaker, that devil got to stop. He stops. It just abruptly stops. When something is going on, even storms in the air, whatever, hurricanes, storms, people, because some people come at you like a hurricane. Some people will destroy stuff like a hurricane will destroy it. And that's how your life is being destroyed without Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't blow your life. Don't let it be blown away. Don't let it be blown to hell. Receive Jesus today. Amen. Now, Bishop will do, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, God, Bishop will do the prayer of salvation. And I pray that there are those who receive the Lord today. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for this time. Oh God, I ask you to bless this time of study. Bless this time of praise towards you, oh God. This time of worship. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 That concludes our sermon for today. We'll be back to report to you whenever Apostle says so. Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who have never accepted Jesus as their Savior. Now is your perfect opportunity. Do not let it pass you by, because no one is promised tomorrow. No one is promised the rest of this day. God be all the glory, honor, and praise. Anytime he says, Papa, come home, we have to go. Hallelujah. And we want to make sure that we go home and not to the other place or to the enemy's home. We don't want to do that. Oh, God, give us all our sins. Now, if you've backslidden and you strayed away from the faith, get back with your brothers and sisters. Get back with Jesus. Ask Jesus to renew your soul, renew your mind, and to save you from this terrible, difficult world we live in. Hallelujah. As the apostle said, we live in the world, but we're not of the world, which is only, we only sojourn us here. So God proved how much he loved us by giving us Jesus, the only begotten Son, as a sacrifice for our sins and iniquities. And in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, hallelujah, see, for the Lord so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever shall believe in him perish, but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the world might be saved. So if you believe that, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, the word of God says, repent, and let every one of you, hallelujah, give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Repent. And repentance is not returning to your previous way of living. If you've made that short confession, all you have to do is be baptized next and live your life righteously. Oh, my goodness. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Give to God. Give your heart, your soul, your mind, body to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're healed now, and your slate is clean in the sense that you have you've confessed it out loud when you say the confession prayer. I believe that God raised Christ from the dead and that he is to save us all. Hallelujah. He's the only way, the door. He's called the door. He is the only way. It's through the door. Hallelujah. Now, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are now saved. Hallelujah. And you must repent, as I said. Repentance is not returning to the world. Yes, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. And we're going to leave here. We're trying to make certain that we can get to heaven rather than go to hell and burn for eternal damnation. Now, your next step is to be baptized. And if you've never been baptized before, you have to be baptized as we do in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said unto them, there's a multitude of people that speaking to and encouraging them to be baptized. And it, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And once you've made that confession, you are now saved. And all male and female angels in heaven, all spirits, just as we are eternally, all spirits. Now, if you've made that confession, that's it, you're now saved. Okay, and the next act is to be baptized. Hallelujah. And if you have a church that you're a member of, and you like the church, I'm not telling you to leave your church, but be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. As the scripture says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, nor is there any other name under the heaven that we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. So, welcome to the family of God. I hope to be hearing from you soon. And if you're in the Louisiana area, you want to stop over and see us, give us a call. We'll be more than happy to meet you and greet you and entertain you. And if you're not from this area, you know, we want to feed you some of our style of food. You know? And we've been told we have the best soul food in the country. That's questionable. I don't think anybody has the best of everything. But it sure is good. I've been living on it for a few years now. Yeah. Ever since I was a baby, I've been living on this food. And it hasn't done me any harm, any wrong. Yeah. But I enjoy food, period. I'm not going to lie. And if you see me, you'll see why I said that. God bless each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Repent. May Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Do it now. Just hold your hand up. I know the pastor is getting ready to walk to the back of the church, but you have to turn around. that you can lead Jesus. Somebody has a piece of machinery on or something? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Now, invite people to your baptism, whenever it might be, as soon as possible. You know, invite people. Hey, you know, anybody, neighbors, strangers on the street, friends, you know, relatives. You know, invite them to your baptism. By doing so, you may just lead someone into receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if you do, so is accredited to you. Praise the Lord. So God bless each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Bible Talk Radio family. Hallelujah. And Pastor Linda, it's back to you, ma'am.
Back to Apostle Calendar.
Yes.
If you can, if not, we'll just open the line. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're done, Apostle. Praise the Lord, we're done. Apostle, are you there? Can praise you? Maybe it's not even on. Can anybody hear me?
Well, I heard you. I'm here on the line picking up my great-grandson from school. God bless you, woman of God, on the message that you bring forth this morning.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you for answering me. Thank you so much. You
yes.
have a reading for today, or are you going to wait till you get home?
Yeah, I'm waiting here to pick up my grandson. Let me do this reading while I'm doing this. I say, judge, don't judge. Here's something yeah. worth thinking about. If you judge other people harshly, God will judge you in the same way. But that's not all. Thank goodness. The Bible also promised that if you forgive other people, you too will be forgiven. Are you tempted to blame people, criticize people, or judge people? If so, remember this. God is already judging what people do, and he doesn't need or want your help.
That's right.
Let me finish it. God has the wisdom to judge other people, but you don't. So do not
Amen.
Be too quick to judge. Dear God, the Bible teaches me that it is wrong to judge other people, so I'll be slow to judge and quick to be kind. Amen. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failure. Criticize their fault, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. The criticized spirit has a way of boomeranging. Matthew 7:1-2. May God and his blessing do his word. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. That's part of it. Criticizing others, judging other people. That's, you know, it fits right in. So, Mother, thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you. For keeping us on one accord, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Be careful what we say about others. Be careful what we judge, and we will be judged. Amen. God has the wisdom to judge. I heard you, Mother. Hallelujah. God has the wisdom to judge. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we just thank God that we heard another part of this message. That fits right in, Mother. Thank you so, so much. Be careful how we treat others, because the same treatment will come back to us. Amen, amen. Thank you, Mother. Stay traveled in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God bless you, Mother. The line is open. The line is open. Anybody care to comment? Anybody out there that want to comment, pray people receive the Lord today, and we pray that this word has resonated with us, amen, and that we will begin to think about it, and ask God. God is on every face with the situation that's volatile or, you know, somebody acting out. Lord, help me to keep my composure. Help me, Lord, to keep my holy composure so that I will represent you in the way that you deserve. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Because we're only human, and we got to watch it, because that flesh will try to take over. It'll take over if you let it. Quick, fast, in a hurry, it'll take over. So we have to quickly call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help us. In the name of Jesus. He's our helper. That's what he is, the Paracletos. Our helper, our comforter. And we call on him for counsel, for wise counsel. So if Apostle is still out there busy and he's not able to talk right now, that's okay. Anybody else that doesn't have anything to say or doesn't care to say anything, that's okay. It's all right. The word of God has gone forth, and we're happy about that. Glory be to God. There were some folks that were listening. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless the name of God. Hallelujah. So we're going to close the line because the apostle can't hear us or he's too busy. We're going to close the line, and we say once again, thank you all for coming. We are very grateful and very privileged to have come forth with the word of God today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, so Apostle, we're going to close the line. Nobody's saying anything. Bishop, would you close for us, please? Just say a few words to the people and get off the line.
May the strength of God sustain us. The will of God, blessings of the Lord be with us. The direction of the Lord guide us.
Yes.
As we leave this place of worship and return to wherever our home is or wherever we go and work with us. Watch over us and our family, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
O merciful Father, we thank you for this day. And may we see many other days as we live more and live for Christ. In
yes.
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen,
amen,
amen. God bless y'all. We're out of here. So long. God bless.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. Bishop, thank God for the word. Moon's Main Street. It's a crazy place here we have. This place is crazy, man. I had my glasses up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.